This next gentleman we have sitting next to us, I'm not sure I want him in here. He's got better hair than I do. I don't
and he's taller than you
that.
Are.
Well, but yeah, but everybody's taller than I am these days.
Not me.
Excuse me. Since graduating from the National Institute of Dramatic Art in 2001, he has worked both on stage and screen in Australia and the U.S. His theater credits include Black Rock, Ecstasy, that's S-T-A-C-Y, and I'm going to ask my guest, actually, the pronunciation of this, L-A-B-O-I-T-E?
La Boite.
La Boite. Was that the character?
No, that's the theater.
That's
it's okay. French for the box.
Oh, okay.
It was a theater in the round.
Oh, okay.
That's great.
Very good.
Cool.
All right. And Summer of the 17th Doll at the QTC Ed Program, right? The Credo Canvas, Griffin
An American
Theater.
Play.
At the Griffin Theater, Taming of the Shrew, Bell Shakespeare Company, and A Midsummer Night's Dream, The Idiot, The Singer, HRTC. And his starring television credits in Australia include Underbelly 2, McLeod's Daughters, The Cooks, Last Standing Man, Always Greener, Blue Heelers, and The Cut. Film credits include Come Back to Me and Is That a Gun in Your Pocket? Matt is also in pre-production as both actor and producer on the feature film Them. Let's say hello to Matt Passmore.
Thank you. I think you've just taken IMDb's job right away from me.
Matt, I got to ask you, is it hard to keep this fake accent up all the time, man? Because you're making the rest of us look bad over here,
It's just
brother.
To get the chicks, man. I'm actually from Oklahoma, and no.
Great to have you here.
Have you
Matt.
Ever even been to Oklahoma?
I haven't, no, but I would like to go.
Yeah?
Yes.
It's nice, actually. It's a lovely place.
That's right. The
Depending
Thunder
where
are
you
playing
go.
This week. Go see them.
Yeah? So you are making your... are you making your theater debut here? No, not
yes,
possibly.
Yes,
yes,
no.
Wow.
I haven't walked the floorboards for such a long time. So... when this came up, I was actually waiting on a CW pilot to see whether it was going to go. Mm-hmm. And when this popped up, I thought, what a perfect little window for me to get back on the floorboards.
And, of course, he's talking about Speaking in Tongues at the Matrix Theatre, coming up with the Australian Theatre Company. Tell us about the show.
Yeah, so it's a play by Andrew Bevel, and the Australian Theatre Company... took the opportunity to do two plays in rep. The other one is Norman Guthrie.
Great.
And but Speaking in Tongues is, I guess, would be considered a modern-day Australian classic. It's really gone down in history as being one of the greats from the mid-90s till now. So it was made into the feature film Lentana with Jeffrey Rush and Anthony LaPaglia. And but it started as this play, and it's four actors playing nine characters, and it really just really starts to explore the emotional conduct, the breaking of contracts between intimate people, how we start hiding ourselves and our truths from our intimates, and we can be totally open and exposed to complete strangers. And it explores that notion, especially of us in big cities, how the notion of isolation, that we can be so close up against each other, we can be sleeping in the same bed as someone for so long and yet feel completely isolated in this world.
Now, set in Australia?
The need for connection. Yes. So the Australian Theatre Company does Australian plays with an Australian voice.
Wow.
It sees itself as like a cultural exchange because in Australia, we get a ton of American TV and film. So we get a greater understanding of the American psyche, the culture, probably far better than the average American does of the Australian culture. So the Australian Theatre Company decided that they wanted to bring an Australian voice, which is purely Australian, but then we also realize how many universal themes we absolutely share.
Sure. But they certainly made a great impact with their first production, Holding the Man, which was done at the Matrix Theatre, and what a beautiful show that was. And
yeah, that was
very
emotional.
Became aware of them. which was based on a best-selling book, and which became a show in Australia.
Yes,
right?
Yes, yeah. It started as a book.
Yeah,
you know, the Australians, from what I hear, have a great love of their stars, both on television and stage. David Gilchrist, a friend of ours from Cabrillo, is an Aussie transplant, played in Vegas as a headliner for years and years and years, and he tells stories. He started out doing floor commercials on television and developed a significant musical theater career based off of his fame from television commercials, and it was the Australian people embraced him as a native son, and he went all over the world and met Aussies everywhere who loved what he did and remembered him from both of those things. things. So I thought that was an interesting story.
Until I saw that show, Holding the Man, which was their first effort here in Los Angeles, I didn't even know there was a community of Australians mm-hmm. in Los Angeles. I hadn't at least touched upon it.
Well, this is interesting because a lot of the Australian, usually film stars that Americans are aware of, Hugh Jackman is well known for being, a child of the theater. But Russell Crowe, Cate Blanchett, most Australian actors that Americans are aware of have a theater background. Mm-hmm. It's almost like when you sign on to be a theater in Australia, you're signing on for a life of poverty.
Right.
You know, the people that get into it for the wrong reasons, they fall away pretty fast. Right. So you have to pretty much be able or willing to do anything. And so the majority of actors that do find themselves over here have had at least a taste, if not a career, in theater in Australia.
Now, can you tell me a little bit about how you describe the show? Is it a dramedy? Is it comedy and drama? Or is it more a romantic comedy? How would you phrase the show?
I would call it theatrical gymnastics.
Wow.
It really has – it's a haunting play. But in going back to the theater, I think I've chosen a very interesting play in that it's a very clever play, but it's got an incredible amount of heart. So, for instance, the first two scenes literally happen with two couples in two separate parts of the city happening simultaneously. The overlapping of lines are saying it at the same time. Two completely different scenes are happening. The audience are watching two different scenes mm-hmm. happening, but it's happening simultaneously.
Wow.
So the similarities between them and the differences become very entertaining for the audience, and very confronting.
Now, you've been here, you said to me earlier before we went on air, for 9 years in Los Angeles. What made you come to Los Angeles?
State of the Arts Live with Andrew James and Michael Sarnoff.
To one day be on State of the Arts. That's
exactly right, yes. I've been waiting my whole life.
did it.
That's it.
Now we
my
go
bucket
back,
list
done.
Is done. Ticked.
Oh, my.
All right, I announce my retirement. And
I wish it was that easy. No, seriously, I mean, obviously to further your career. Right, in the arts.
Yes, I think it's the global nature that has really come into the industry. I have been in audition rooms and been in the green room waiting to go in, and everyone's speaking in an American accent, and I'm the kind of guy that chats right. with people before an audition. Highly annoying to people that don't like to do that. But before you know it, you're speaking to this guy in an American accent, this guy, and he's from South Africa, and this guy's from England, and you're all speaking in the American accents. But the global nature of it all, I sent a tape. After finishing a series in Australia, I sent a tape, and Fox flew me over, and I was testing in front of the network before I knew it, and that was my first pilot.
Fantastic. And, now, do you speak with in your Australian accent, or do you affect an American accent?
Well, if I'm going for an American show or an American right. job, I'll use whatever accent right. is necessary for that. There's not that many jobs for Australians over here, unless
but you know the,
there's crocodiles or something.
And it's hard, what with you carrying that koala bear all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Of all the dialects, the dialects and the accents in the world, people seem to gravitate toward Australian mm-hmm. and English, right? We think it because in England, everybody sounds smarter than we are, and they probably are anyway. And in Australian, they're certainly more charming than we are. So.
Well, I think the charm of the Australian accent is it makes everyone else feel smarter. I mean, seriously, when you think about it, you're like, we always go up at the end of our voices, so it looks like we're always asking a question. We don't really know what we're talking about. I think Australia has a reputation of being charming and unthreatening. And I think that is certainly, I've certainly felt America open its arms to myself as an Australian, as opposed to someone from, a different culture or that sort of thing, that find difficulties going to different countries.
Mm-hmm.
But there's definitely, and I think it actually, I'm an ex-military boy, so it goes back to World War II as well. There's a massive affection in Australia for America. I mean, Japan was attacking.
You were in the military?
Yes, I went straight from school into the military. But when you look back there, I mean, we were sending kids into Papua New Guinea to try and fight them off because mm-hmm. England wouldn't let us have our army back.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're getting attacked here. Can we? No, the motherland. So that I think that was an incredibly bonding experience between our countries, and since then, America definitely became a very affectionate big brother, I guess, mm-hmm. to Australia as well as England. Hmm. And being in the armpit of the Pacific, we have a very good visual on both. So
I've been to Australia. Have you?
I have not. No,
have
I'd love
you,
to. Though,
never been.
Wow.
Of any country, I'm sure it's the closest that feels like you might be in America, excepting, you know, what we're hearing around you, your accents, and the beauty of it. And New Zealand, I've also heard
that,
too, which is spectacular.
Gorgeous, yeah.
Because it's so still very untouched, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, the natural beauty in both countries. Australia has enormous desert beauty alongside everything else, but because, you know, 80% of it is one big desert.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And New Zealand has untouched, rugged territory that you know, I don't think will ever be developed.
Why is that?
I think because when you're talking about mountain ranges and the kind of topography they have there, that you're certainly not going to put up a Ralph's and a Trader Joe's across the road.
Let's hope not.
No,
Jared can't go if he can't get his mango.
That's
so there's
right.
a problem.
It's off my list.
Yeah, I think you'll be having lamb instead of mango in New Zealand. But, you know, it's the kind of place you can put a bridge up and a bungee rope off, but, you know, it's a celebration of natural beauty there.
And that's fantastic.
And in Australia as well.
What is the primary theater in Melbourne, the big arts theater there?
I guess it's MTC. I guess Melbourne Theatre Company is the prominent.
I mean, but the actual venue itself, isn't there Her Majesty's Royal Theatre or something?
Oh, yes. Where they will do the big numbers, yes.
Right, the big musicals.
The big musical
the big
numbers, yes.
Because the one and only time that I was in Australia, I, as a public relations guy, which I have been for many, many years, I represented Marie Osmond and Donny Osmond and the Osmonds, and we toured the world, and Australia was, of course, on that tour. And it was very hard for them. Marie was just coming into the act. She was very young, and everywhere they went, you know, they were so, so huge in music all over the world that we really had to pick and choose when they went out into public situations. We stayed in a hotel that was right, very, very close to the theater, the one that you just mentioned. And we had to actually get them out of the hotel through taking the elevator down into the bowels of the hotel and having cars waiting inside of a garage. And because there would be between 3,000 and 4,000 kids out in front of the hotel chanting Donnie's name, you know, all through the night.
I have that problem everywhere I go.
Do you?
They chant Donnie's
Andrew
name. It's really strange.
Oh.
And you do have that smell.
It's the only thing I
that Jared was kind enough to point out at the beginning of the show. But we get to the theater literally like across the street, but had to take cars and do the whole thing. And we're inside and we're seeing this beautiful production of a classic musical called Irene. You wouldn't necessarily know it. It's not one of the bigger title shows. But it was, the theater was spectacular. And we're all sitting there enjoying this first time that all of us, and we met up with the Pat Boone family and
wow.
his children. And he's an iconic American recording artist from back in the day. And all of a sudden, the doors to the theater got totally pushed in by the 3,000 to 4,000 kids who figured
oh, no.
it out. And they all ran into that theater, down the aisles, leaping over seats and people to the point that the show had to completely stop.
Wow.
And it stopped for 30 minutes before they could get them out of there.
Wow.
And those poor actors were so stunned by that, you know, spectacle. And God bless them, when everybody was out and the curtain went back up again, they actually just picked it up from like it had never happened. And I thought, wow, these
wow.
are definitely professional people on that stage.
That's I guess when you deal with that sort of thing, you very quickly get your introduction into being professional and moving forward no matter what happens.
Boy, oh boy, I'll say.
We should tell everybody we're talking to Matt Passmore and Jared Gertner here today. Matt's show is at the Matrix Theater. It's 7657 Melrose Avenue here in Los Angeles. And, of course, we should tell them how to get tickets. Michael, do you
Absolutely.
Mind?
Speaking in Tongues, June 6th through June 27th. And again, this is in repertory with another show called Reuben Guthrie. But the dates for Matt's show, Mondays at 8 p.m., opening night is June 6th, and it then repeats on June 13th and the 27th. Tuesdays it plays on, this is a lot of information to give out, Tuesdays at 8 p.m., June 21st, Thursday at 8 p.m., June 16th, Fridays at 8 p.m., June 10th and 24th. You can probably find all of this information on the website at theaustraliantheatrecompany.com. And the telephone number attached to this is 323-960-4443 for tickets. And again, Matrix Theater, lovely theater in the heart of West Hollywood on Melrose Avenue, 7657 Melrose Avenue, between Stanley Avenue and Fairfax and La Brea, some key streets to be aware of. And you know, the nice thing about theater in that part of the city is the fact that you can, you know, walk to one of the many restaurants in the neighboring area and have a great meal and go and see the show when you're ready to go see it.
A good evening out. Not
absolutely.
Just, yeah,
and we are all sharing June 6th, it seems.
Yes.
Birthday and your show.
That's
so,
right.
Yes.
And I have a show that night.
That's,
show, right? Right?
That's
yeah,
a little
ironic. So I think we'll just have to do a round robin.
You know, June 6th is also, of course, D-Day. It's the day in 1944 where they landed on the beaches and started their assault on World War II. But it was also an interesting thing when my brother and I were growing up. I was born on D-Day, and he was born on May 8th, which was VE Day, Victory in Europe Day, I believe. So we each had these significant dates that would always be announced on the radio. We'd always get a big thrill out of that. So good things on June 6th, I guess.
I hope so.
The other show we're talking about today, of course, is I Only Have Eyes for You, The Life and Lyrics of Al Durbin. At the Montauban Theater on Vine Street in Hollywood. And ladies and gentlemen, of course, as we said before, you can go to www.flavorus.com to get tickets there. Or certainly if you Googled that name, I Only Have Eyes for You, at the Montauban Theater, that would come up.
And that's through June 12th.
Mm-hmm.
So we always say this at this program, put down the remote and get away from your TV and put your iPad down and put your phone down. Get in your car and go out and see some live theater.
And keep right, your phone down when you're in the theater.
That's right. Doesn't,
the whole time.
Doesn't
the show,
Ricardo Montalban tell people that, though,
yeah,
in
but
the
they
most
don't
charming
always
way?
Well, both of these shows, get out and see them, because two great stars here today. And if you get a chance to sit there, you're going to see a couple really fantastic productions. Shall we embarrass these two fine
gentlemen? I just want to say one thing about I Only Have Eyes for You, because the music is so, so very famous. Mm-hmm. That in itself is a part of the experience, and a wonderful treat to hear voices the quality of Jared's and all of his colleagues on that stage.
21 songs.
I know.
Show, and they're
right?
All classics, every
yeah,
one of them.
Yeah, every one of them. It's kind of the story behind 42nd Street, isn't it?
Well, a little. That's yeah, part of his story. That was sort yeah, of his huge success.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, which is coming to the Pantages Theater at the end of the month.
Interesting timing.
Yeah.
Al would like us to say as well that it's not just the music, it's the lyrics, too, that are pretty impressive
yeah,
in that
right,
show.
Indeed.
My favorite is the kind of topics that Al wrote on. Frankfurter Sandwiches is
yeah,
an absolutely hilarious song. And when you watch this, you realize lyricist had a tough row in that.
He
I mean,
was
that was
slipping
a difficult
pretty
thing,
intense innuendo in before any,
right,
anybody was really allowed to do that, which is pretty impressive.
Yeah. Yeah, a fun show and great music and great performances as well.
So. Indeed. All right, boys. Now it's time to anoint you, to baptize you.
This is our don't tell my Jewish mother.
Well, you convert in the show, right? So come
yeah,
on, come
but
on,
not in real life, please.
So who wants to start? Jared, you want to start?
This is an embarrassing story.
Embarrassing moment.
Something that makes us feel like we're all in the same boat as performers, to where, kind of like what we're talking about, no matter what happens, you push on, and something a little unique to you.
Firstly,
perhaps,
I'm embarrassed that nobody complimented how charming my New Jersey accent is after you fawned over Matt's Australian accent. So this is actually, it happened to me during a TV job, which is crazy. It was my first television job after moving to LA a year and a half ago, and it was Marvel's Agent Carter. And Haley Atwell, who's the star of that show, is a very good friend of mine, so it was really exciting to work with her on her show.
Did she get you the job?
She did not.
Oh,
which is even better.
That's even better, yeah.
But we got to do a scene together, and I was with her and a couple of the other stars, and one scene, but it was my first job. I was excited. So I had visited her on set prior, and she was shooting a fight sequence on top of a moving car, because it's that kind of a show. People are dodging bullets and having fight sequences. I played, of course, just like a paper push nerd who was who was trying to crack a code. And in this scene, I'm looking through a bunch of books, and the actor Chad Michael Murray was in the scene with me, and I'm dropping a lot of names, I'm sorry. He has to grab the book and throw it out of my hands and be like, "You looked through that book 20 times already." So as he does it, he gives me a paper cut across my wrist that started bleeding like crazy. So they're doing all these fight sequences, and my one little scene where all I do is sit at a table, stand up, and sit back down, I develop a paper cut And they call cut at the end of one of the takes, and Haley says, "Jared, darling, you're bleeding all over the set." And I had been bleeding all over the props and I had to go to the medic.
Oh,
so it's my first
no.
job in LA on a show that's so action-packed. I do nothing but stand up and I'm bleeding all over the props and had to stop, go to the medic, get it treated. But we'd already started shooting with my sleeves rolled up, so then they had to figure out which way to put my arm so that people couldn't see the – I mean, it was humiliating.
But it wasn't your fault.
Sure. No, it wasn't my fault, but that's not always how they see it, you know?
It's not
if
how
you're,
you feel,
if you're the one-day
sure.
guest star, it's your fault. Anyway, so that was a really embarrassing moment, but I managed to persevere.
You were able to finish the job, and it was all right?
Yeah, it all ended up okay, and you can't see my bruised, broken, red, bloody arm on television.
What about in Book of Mormon? You must have had something happen.
Well, Book of Mormon... You know, I didn't have too many. We had, you know, some technical things that went wrong where we had to sort of cover. But we had one moment. I went through 3.5 years of that show and never broke. And then we had one moment with Gavin Creel, the actor who played opposite me for 2 years on the tour and in London. It was about 3 months before the end of our run together. And something – there's a scene at the end, just the two of us, and something hit us so hard the way he said a line. And we both – completely lost it to the point where we had to just stop and put our heads down and our shoulders were shaking and but you know the audience kind of loves that. I think if you're seeing actors intentionally mess around with each other, that's horrible,
right?
But if something genuinely gets an actor and they just can't stop, they kind of ate that up. And we took a second and he came over and he slapped me and then we took a breath and we finished the scene. But that's the only thing I can remember, things something really going off the rails on that show. Yeah.
Alright, Matt, how about you?
Similar, actually, in The Blood.
Nice.
It's an ongoing theme. I was doing Dostoevsky's The Idiot, and it's definitely the kind of play that you do not crack up in.
Right.
It's Russian and tragic. And I was playing a character called Nikolaevich, and I had just murdered the woman that he was obsessing about, who was obsessed with The Idiot. And so I'm standing over her body with a knife... a bloody knife, and she's dead, and my character is freaking out. The idiot character then is knocking on the door frantically and yelling out, "Nikolaevich, Nikolaevich, Nikolaevich." And that makes my character freak out even more. Well, one night, first of all, I heard the trip. This is theater in the round, so there is nowhere to go.
Right.
And it's very intimate. First, I hear the trip, and then the thump into the back of one of the bleachers. And
did
then,
you shout out, "You idiot"?
Yeah, no. Exactly. And then the idiot, halfway through that, like a strangled seagull, goes, "Likolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikolikol plays, plays, this is not the one to do. There is nowhere to go here. And I just got it together, and I looked down, and I had just put the sheet over the dead body. And I looked down, and the body was just pumping up and down. She'd completely lost it under there, and that body's going, well, I just completely lost it. But the only way to do that in the round is you have to go inside. Well, I went inside and forgot I had the knife still in my hand and took myself in the side of my body through the shirt, gave myself a nice gash, which bled profusely.
Were you using a real knife?
It was a blunt knife.
They're hardcore in Australia.
Yeah, that's right.
That's not a knife.
That's right. If you can't kill a crocodile with it, what are you doing with it? It should be on a plate. No, it was blunt, but it wasn't a retractable one. It had substance. And the only way to hide was in character, folded into myself, you know, and the knife folded into me. And I just could see the audience almost went from, it shouldn't be funny, but that's a little bit funny. And then, oh, crap, is he bleeding?
Wow.
So that was my semi-funny, semi-embarrassing.
Michael, I'm glad we don't have any sharp objects on set today with these two around.
Really?
Shall we tell them?
He's you're all red. Tell
them. Well, it was embarrassing.
Frightening
sense memories.
Shall we tell them one more time, first of all, about one of my favorites? Before you get to the important info that we have about these two gentlemen, I want to plug, go see Everything's Coming Up, Rosie, because I love Sterling's Upstairs at the Federal. I love that part of town. I love what you get to see there. And these two ladies who you have in the show, that's going to be something special. So get out and see that. And then after June 6th as well, you can go see another amazing theater here in L.A., including at the Matrix Theater. You can go see Matt's amazing show here, which is called Michael. Do you have the
speaking
info
in
there?
Tongues?
Yes. Do you have the info there for that?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes,
sir, would you mind reading
indeed.
That?
Sure. Yeah. You put me on the spot here.
I'm sorry,
Andrew.
Sir. Well, I've got my pages mixed up too.
Yes. Of course. It opens June 6th and plays in Repertory with Reuben Guthrie. And speaking in tongues, June 6th through June 27th. Again, if you go on to the website, AustralianTheatreCompany.com, that'll have the schedule there for you. And also to get tickets, you can call them at 323-960-4443. And I'm sure you can get tickets online, too, at that same AustralianTheatreCompany.com.
And that's theater
website.
With the RE, correct?
That's correct.
Great. Yeah. And then, of course, you can go and see another great show, I Only Have Eyes for You, The Life of Al Dubin, at the Montauban Theater on Vine Street in Hollywood. It's going through June 12th, and they have performances on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday evenings at 8 o'clock, Saturday at 2 p.m. and 8 p.m., and Sundays at 3 p.m. And you can check out www.flavorus.com or call 1-323-461-6999. Get out and see some theater and enjoy this amazing
Absolutely.
City that we live in.
Thank you for being with us, ladies and gentlemen, today. And thank you, Andrew. Thank you, Matt. Thank you, Jared.
Thank you.
Thanks, Peter
guys.
Goldman, for bringing Jared. He's the publicist for the show. One of the best publicists in the business out here in Los Angeles.
Good.
Thank you, Andrew.
Thank
Have
you,
a wonderful
Michael.
Holiday coming up. Thank goodness we get to take some time off, right?
A safe and happy Memorial Day to everyone. And, Michael, where do I see you next week?
You see me at Sterling's upstairs at the Fed? Well, not next week, but we'll be here, yes.
And I'll also find you on the radio. Come visit us here again, State of the Arts.
Yes,
ladies and gentlemen,
Thank
we'll
you.
See you soon. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Paul Strohle, right here on LA Talk Radio.